Off the ball, GAA.
If Aidan O'Shea even thought twice about stepping away, I'd get on to pray for myself and give him a slap in the head and say, no, it's not the time.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up, we'll have reaction from a huge night of League of Ireland action on Monday. Bohemians got a third win of the season over their rivals Shamrock Rovers. We'll hear from fans up and down the country on the resignation of Damien Duff. And as the Club World Cup heats up, we'll get the latest from the US. But first to events last night, and Bohemians beat Shamrock Rovers 2-0 at Dalymount Park. First half goals from Dale Rooney and James Clark gave Alan Reynolds a third win over Stephen Bradley this season, and it cut the gap at the top of the league to 9 points. Bows also have 2 games in hand. Speaking to Off the Ball's Scarlett Heron, Reynolds says he was delighted with his side's display, especially in the first half.
I thought it was an outstanding, great night for the club, great night for the team, supporters. Thought the place was rocking here, and I suppose the way we played and went about it in the first half gave them that energy, and we fed off each other. I thought we were standing and totally deserved that. You know, we could have won by more. They're always going to have a spell in the second half, you know, and we were ready for that. But I thought to a man, absolutely outstanding. I don't want to single anyone out. I just thought a fantastic team performance.
Shamrock Rovers boss Stephen Bradley was less pleased with how his side performed.
Yeah, it was. Look, we were really poor, especially first half. Bohemians scored two and probably deserved to have more in the first half. We were really off our levels in the first half. Second half, we were better, but you can't play for 45 minutes in this league and win games, especially these types of games. So we can't have any complaints with the result.
Yeah, as you said, slow start. Obviously, conceding 2 minutes in isn't ideal. What do you put that down to?
We're just sloppy in everything we did. The goal comes from us. We had a 3-2 on their penalty box and we give it away sloppy. It's played down the side, we make a poor decision and ends on the back of the net. And that probably summed up the first half in everything we did. We were miles off the game in every regard. And like I said, we can't have any complaints.
Shamrock Rovers will now turn attention to the game at Waterford back at Talla Stadium on Friday night. Bows play Sligo Rovers at Dalymount on the same night. Life without Damien Duff started for Shelburne last night with a trip south to take on Waterford. Early goals in both halves ensured a share of the points as Joey O'Brien made an unbeaten start as Shell's interim manager. Harry Wood put the champions in front after just 3 minutes before Grant Horton equalised 5 minutes later. Padraig Amond put the Blues ahead with his 8th goal of the season early in the second half before Wood got an equaliser just a minute later. However, it was events off the pitch which overshadowed the game, and Joey O'Brien told Off the Ball's Nathan Murphy he was still shocked by the news of Duff's departure.
Yeah, listen, as I said, this is stunned as everyone else, I suppose, you know. And it was a hard, obviously, morning yesterday, and unexpected. But listen, it was after the dust had sort of settled, this game had to be played, and we badly needed 3 points today. So ultimately, unfortunately, we didn't get that. But I felt the performance of the team and the players, yeah, some brilliant performances, individual performances of the team as well. Yeah, listen, it probably sums up our season. That game out there really dominating a lot of teams, loads of possession, loads of chances, and giving up really soft goals. And here again, it was the same again there tonight, which is really unfortunate, I suppose, because we felt the lads' performances definitely deserved 3 points.
Yourself and Damien have obviously forged a very strong bond over recent years. Were you as blindsided as everybody else by this?
Yeah, to be honest, yeah. So we didn't see it coming, obviously. And he's become a really close friend, and he still is a really close friend. The times he's done to this football club, what he's done to this football club, I don't think there's any manager anywhere would have done what he's done, taking a club from literally coming out of the fourth division with three players signed, building a squad, getting to a cup final, arriving to Europe the next year, and then winning the league within 3 years. A remarkable job. And ultimately, that's the legacy of this football club. He's left it on a great front, I think, because the club has been built, the fan base is up, everything around Talca Park is buzzing, and here's the main reason for that. But it's still there, and as I said there tonight, the squad, ultimately he built the squad, they're all his players out on the pitch, and I felt we are brilliant, really. And the lads coming off the bench and all the strength of our squad here, for me, Waterford couldn't really get out of the half, second half, and we dominated and had so many chances, but unfortunately the boys didn't get the reward and getting 3 points.
How did he break the news to you?
Yeah, listen, it was just in the morning, obviously, and just came in, just said it's that's me, I'm resigning, obviously, and I was shocked, obviously. And he listened, sort of rolled on very quickly, just caught off guard. And but here he was adding that he made his decision, so I'm sure.
Did you try and convince him to stay?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah, I did, yeah. And listen, of course, yeah, because Yeah, I was stunned, obviously, and then he broke the news, and it was fairly happened fairly quick then. Obviously, he went on to the club and powers above and stuff like that, and then out to the players, and then that was really it. And then after that was done, then it was like the focus turned to the day. It was obviously a hard training session yesterday to take, and the lads, we didn't really do a lot, really, and then we just had travel down here today, done a meeting, obviously done a pre-match meeting, said a few words to the boys, and felt the response there. I'm ultimately really, really proud of the players to put in that performance after the news that they received.
And O'Brien explained that the news surprised him as much as anyone else, despite him being Duff's most trusted lieutenant.
No. And listen, here he's, was it really? He's all in, as I said, what he's built here at this football club, and the memories that he's given fans last a lifetime, myself included.
Yeah.
So, but ultimately, it's his decision. He made that decision.
Are you surprised? Are you surprised that he didn't... the way he's spoken about you and the coaching staff has been like family members, the love he had for the players, that he didn't sit and talk to you for longer and discuss whatever issues were going on, whatever was frustrating and whatever forced him into making this decision?
Listen, as you said, he had a decision. It was his decision and he made that decision. And then that was it, really. Obviously, we all tried to talk to him and tried to convince him otherwise. But he was done, he had his mind made up. And as you said, after that sort of settles and the news of that turns around, I've been involved in professional football since I was 15. I've seen all ends of it, and from a player to see managers get sacked and leaving and players being me getting released out of football clubs, and here that's part of it. And I spoke to the players about this over the last few weeks. Being a professional footballer, we're the luckiest people in the world, and but sometimes with that you're employed, you get paid to perform, and I suppose air performances haven't been a high enough standard really, and that's where we are in the league. And,
with some reports that perhaps some of the players were unhappy with Duff's comments after the loss to Derry last Friday, Shelburne captain Mark Coyle said those remarks were aimed at getting a reaction out of the players.
To be honest with you, I didn't pay much attention to them because I know of how he works sometimes, and that for me it was more that maybe he was looking for a proper reaction out of us. And he wasn't happy, and neither were we. We weren't happy with our performance. We know it was lackluster and it wasn't good enough, but I think it was more so the fact that it's been a tough season for us. You look at how we've been hit with injuries, our results haven't gone our way when maybe they could have. A bit of luck just would have changed them sort of things. And it's confidence. For me, it just comes down to confidence, and we were just lacking confidence recently. And that comes into performances, and I think that's what it was. There's no way he could have known how boys prepared. So there's no proof in that. I think that's more just him prodding us and getting a reaction out of us. That's how I looked at it, that's how the group looked at it, because we know how he works and he's got the best out of us numerous times.
So it wasn't the case lads were sitting out in the sun on Friday chilling out ahead of the game?
Nah, definitely not, look, unless he knows something that we don't, but I don't think so anyway. I know the group's a good group, we're proper professionals, we do everything right week in, week out, and we wouldn't have won the league last year if we weren't like that. So that's all I'd have to say.
Shells fans gave this reaction to Duff's departure at the RSC on Monday night.
Devastated. Didn't see it coming, I presume, like most of us Shells fans. But, managers come and go. We can't thank him enough for what he's done for us. Brought us into Europe again. Won us our first league in years. So, we can only thank Duffer for everything he's done for us.
It's been some brilliant nights with Duffer, and I really am genuinely sad to see him go, but if his heart wasn't in it anymore and he felt like he had to go, then he'd done the right thing, Only holding himself back and the club back if it's not working out, But best of luck to him.
As you said, it's hard to say. It's killed the football club, and you see the amount of fans here behind us here. We're a family club here, and the way he walks out, it's hard to take.
Look, it's it was very shocking. It was very unexpected, but we just have to carry on and get on with it now. At this point, you can hear the lads behind us. It's all about getting behind the players now. At this point, Duffer's gone.
Give Farrell the job.
Liam says, give me the job. I wouldn't trust me with a pack of spoons. So, we'll see how it goes.
Everything. Giving me some of the best years of my life following Shells. I would say that he gave the fans belief again in what Shells can be. And I think he brought us to a level that we have not seen before, even with maybe other managers before that. Even going back to the early 2000s and the late 90s, I think we brought it to a different level now, and the club is in a totally different place to where it was And I think he was probably the face and the voice of that, even though I think there was others behind it too.
Like, we're all very grateful for what he's done for the club. I don't think you'll find anyone down here that'll have a bad word to say about him. Right. When he took over, we were a newly promoted team. Expectation was just to stay up. Did that comfortably, got to the cup final. Following year, got into to Europe, and the following year, won the league. So it's like, all we can say is thanks, Duffer.
Ah, look, we never thought we would have got there the first season. Where were we? Nowhere at seventh, and then we got to the cup final, and no one expected that. And then we kicked on and got to Europe coming fourth, and then last year we went on 25-1 shot to win the league. Fans can say what they want, but there's very few that will do that in the next few years.
Pretty disappointed about Champions League coming up, you know. It's massive for this club, massive for Shelbourne. I don't know where we're going to go and who we're going to appoint.
And speaking to our own Scarlet Heron, Bohemians and Shamrock Rovers fans were conflicted on Duff leaving a rival club.
So what do we think of Damien Duff leaving his role as Shelbourne boss yesterday?
Bit delighted, to say the least. Sick of his throwing his toys out of the pram job. It was pretty funny at the start, now in fairness, but it's just got ridiculous at the end of it.
I don't think it's a surprise the way he's been going on in his media interviews after games lately. I think the cracks have been appearing for a long time, so I'm not surprised by it.
It's probably not good for the league, really. Like, he's a big name, so he would get a lot of people there. But I don't know. It seems weird the way he left, and I don't know why he would leave after winning the league with them. But it's with the players or someone else, I don't know. But
Brilliant player, brilliant personality, good guy. Won the league last year. Had the league survive without him.
He brought a lot of attention to the league, and you can't deny that, yeah.
Okay. Do you think the league will suffer now without him?
No, I don't think so. I think it'll keep going. He brought a lot of attention to it, but there's new fans coming to it all the time, and I think the league will keep going either way.
I think he thinks that you can put himself on the papers, get the bad press away from Shells, put it on to somebody else.
Former Bohemians and Waterford manager Keith Long was in the studio this morning for Off the Ball Breakfast, and he offered his thoughts on Duff's decision to step away.
Well, it's a big surprise. I think everybody, when the news broke on Sunday, was very shocked. With Damien's decision, we don't fully know what the reasons behind it as yet. You know, I don't think Damien has come out and directly spoke about it. I'm sure he explained to the players and to the staff and owners at Shelbourne. So his reasons, and you know, got to respect his decision to step away at this time. It's a huge surprise to everybody. You know, remember, he'd done some fantastic things for that football club, Shelbourne, first league in 18 years, got him into Europe. You know, and I think his team were evolving this year. Obviously, results probably have not been what he would have expected. I'm not sure. That's probably not the reason. Football is a 24/7 business. Yeah. You know, it's always on. And it can be very difficult in football management. So it can be a lonely place at times. So listen, I don't know what the full reasons behind what Damien has made the decision. But listen, I wish him good luck. It's going to be a big miss for the league. You know, big loss to the league, particularly Shelbourne, obviously. And, you know, they've done everything they can, I'm sure, to keep him at the club. You know, and yeah, listen, he's been great for League of Ireland football in general. He raised the bar, raised the profile, and he'd be a big loss to the league.
You would have known him to a certain degree before he took the Shells job in November 2021, but you were managing Waterford as recently as April this year. So what was he like to come up against? Because like, we've heard, you know, all the stories about the falling out with Stephen Bradley, and he's very outspoken. But how did you find him personally?
I have known Damien a long time. I don't know him to any great extent, but you know, I've had dealings with him before his time in League of Ireland football. I've been in his company on a number of occasions, but I always found Damien to be very intense, very motivated. Obviously, you can see that on the sideline. His teams play with great energy, great honesty, great work rate, and that's a reflection of the manager. You know, I've got a good relationship with Damien, but you know, we're not best pals or anything like that, you know. So I wish him the very best of luck, whatever decision he makes next.
Duff has had a recent spat with Shamrock Rovers boss Stephen Bradley and a run-in or two with Bohemians manager Alan Reynolds. But here's what they had to say on Duff leaving Shells.
That's disappointing to see Damien leave Shelbourne and leave the league. I'm not sure the reasons why. He obviously has his reasons, but hopefully we see him back in the league and soon enough, but there's no doubt he's a loss to Shelbourne and a loss to the league.
I'm disappointed. I don't know the full ins and outs of it. I think he's brilliant for the league, and obviously to go and win a league after a couple of years in there, you know, he obviously is an outstanding manager, outstanding coach. So look, it's none of my business really, but sad to see it happen because he's so good for the league.
Thoughts now turn to what's next for Shelburne. They play Galway United away from home on Friday night, and then they face Cork City at Talca Park the following Friday. Then they play Linfield in the first leg of their Champions League qualifier at Talca on Wednesday the 9th of July. Joey O'Brien will be in charge for this Friday. It remains to be seen what will happen after that. Captain Mark Coyle says there's no better man than O'Brien.
Well, first off, how he's dealt with it has been, I tip my hat off to him, because there was nobody closer to the gaffer than Joey, and for him to be blindsided as well was tougher on him, I would say, than any of us. So how he's dealt with it, I tap my hat off to him, and on how he's prepared us, him and the staff, for this game, how what they've said to us, how they've dealt with us, was amazing, to be honest with you. They made us feel 10 foot tall at times, so I tip my hat off to him. Whether or not he takes the job, that's his decision again, and we have to respect that, but for me, there's no better man.
And O'Brien told Nathan Murphy it was just a natural thing to try and do his best for the football club.
Do you want this job permanently? Do you want to be Damien's successor?
Listen, it happened so quick, and obviously it was so sudden that I've never thought about that ultimately. And even yesterday, I don't even think I was asked to take the team. It was just a natural sort of thing that I've been with the group for the last few years, and ultimately the manager had left, and I was like, there's a game tomorrow. We need to go out there.
No chance of me all going together.
Listen, I was, as I said, I wasn't expecting it, so I wasn't, didn't see it coming and stuff like that. But listen, straight away, I was like, this football club needs a win, and these lads need to be put out onto a pitch with some type of formation, maybe just in the circumstances. And look, as I said, I think the performance there tonight by the players was fantastic, and unfortunately, we didn't get what we deserved.
St. Pat's manager Stephen Kenny's under increasing pressure after last night's 1-0 loss to Derry City at Richmond Park. Liam Boyce's first half header was the difference between the two sides. It's now 3 defeats in a row for Pats since the summer break. And Stephen Kenny told Oisin Langan from LOI TV he was happy with his players' performance, but he was unhappy with the offside decision for the goal.
Yeah, like I think you're saying that the players, the level of performance is very high level. I thought the players were excellent tonight, you know, dominated the game, really, absolutely dominated it, but just our finishing let us down, and obviously it's been like that this week. It's been a bad week in that regard. We're unbeaten for a year here, and then we lose two in a row, 2-1-0s, and we've absolutely dominated the game, played really well. It's a strong Derry team who would have aspirations of, you know, finishing first or second certainly, and we just got caught once for their goal when they played through midfield. But you know, on looking at it, certainly Liam Boyce is offside. You know, the lines that misses that is clearly offside, heading into the net. So that's disappointing. But from our point of view, we missed some good chances. Like, we missed some great chances, and you know, we'll have to you have to take your chances. So we're kicking ourselves.
The win for Derry followed a 1-0 win away to Shelburne on Friday night. Manager Tiernan Lynch was happy with both the result and the performance.
Yeah, the answer is yes to both. I think it was probably one of those games which we knew coming into it, that we needed to show real grit, great heart, great hunger, great determination. And I thought we'd done that tonight. In possession, I thought at times we could have been better, but I thought we had a possession to a man. I thought the players were absolutely superb, and as we spoke about afterwards, great credit to them.
Sligo Rovers recorded a massive 2-1 win over Connacht rivals Galway United in a fiery derby at the Showgrounds. Chad Hakiki had put the bitter red in front before Moses Dyer equalised for John Caulfield's side early in the second half. Both Dyer and Sligo defender John Mahan saw red for a clash early in the second half, and it was John Russell's side who went on to claim all 3 points. Francine Lombardo's goal in the 73rd minute helped Sligo increase their advantage over bottom side Cork City to 4 points. And Russell spoke to Jessica Farry of LOI TV after the game.
Yeah, we're delighted. Some performance
you know, the way the game transpired as well. First half, there wasn't much in it. Look, the conditions were good, but it felt we weren't progressing the ball as well as we can do. So we made a couple of tweaks going into the second half. We created a couple of chances down that left side in the first half. But you know, to get that goal from Jad, it's an unbelievable move in terms of Owen Elling showing his quality. Again, I spoke before the game, mentioned both of them, plays an unbelievable ball through, and Jad, that composure, and he could have had another one as well just before half time. So really happy at half time coming in, but knowing we could have more in us, and then to concede the free kick a minute in second half, we know the threats that Galway bring, and we've got to do better. And then the game changes on the red card. Look, I think it's unbelievably harsh on John Mahan. Yes, it's a bad tackle. He gets his yellow card, but he's walking away from trouble, and it's Moses Dyer comes after him and shoves him, and there's a big melee. And for me, it's not good that he's getting sent off in that moment. But you have to give credit to our team and our players. And Franny, what a goal. Comes from Wills Fitzgerald's desire and hunger to drive forward, and I think Fran hit three efforts within in the same sequence, and the last one was an unbelievable finish and a great goal to win the game.
Galway United boss John Caulfield said the red card was perhaps a little harsh on his striker Moses Dyer.
Yeah, I think it was you know, an end-to-end conduct derby. I think, you know, Sligo dominated in the first half, a lot of possession, did well. Patrick Hickey had the chance when obviously Sargent made a very good save, and then I suppose the game turned on 1 minute when it looked like we had to score. It at the back post, Sargent makes a great save. It was a bit of ping pong. We had two, I think Dave had a chance, Patrick had a chance. It looked like it had to go in, but it didn't, and Sligo come down the pitch and they break, and Hakeem gets a great goal. And you know, it was 1-0 at half time, and that was probably the 60 seconds we spoke at half time came out. Moses scores the goal, 1-1. We feel we're right back in the game. And then there was we had another header, Patrick Hickey, that was, we thought was over the line, hard to know. The sending off where, you know, it was a harsh challenge, or hard challenge by John Mahan and Moses, and gets a yellow card. And then in the next second, you know, Moses gets a red with him, and we feel that was a hard call on us, but it was 10-10, and the game became loose and scrappy, and it was hard to see who was going to win. And to be fair to Franny, he finished the goal very well, you know, and even though we felt after the post that we had a chance to clear it. But then at the end, you know, obviously we were throwing everything at Sligo at the end, and the one at the very end, we don't know what it looked like. It was kind of in over the line, that hit the post, cleared, had a second chance. So, you know, we're frustrated that we had a few good chances and we didn't take them, and that's the way it goes, and we have to move on to Friday night, you know.
Cork City struggles continued despite salvaging a last-minute draw at home to Drogheda United. Shane Farrell put Kevin Doherty's men in front with a lovely free kick after just 12 minutes. Drogheda were ahead until the 96th minute when Gennaro Daniels equalised for the home side. Cork dominated the game after they went behind 76% possession, 22 shots, but only 6 on target. City boss Ger Nash, speaking to LOI TV, was gutted his side could only pick up a point.
At the moment, the only emotion is just gutted, absolutely gutted with what we got from the game, because we deserve so much more, and the effort of the players was fantastic. The spirit they showed, you know, the amount of effort we had on goal, you know, we were, you know, we were how we've gotten what we got from the game. I can't believe, so I'm gutted, because what we deserved was so much more.
Drogheda United, in fairness, scored a cracking free kick, but they sat back after that.
It was a great free kick from the lad, but you know, I can't comment on it, but the build up to that and how that decision was given, and the build up in the previous minute or so up to that, was I wouldn't have the same opinion on what happened there, and that's a really big moment in the game, and that's gone against us tonight. It's a great free kick from the lad, no doubt. But after that, the lads responded, and the spirit of the group and how they worked. You know, the dressing room is just absolutely devastating, the staff. We're just good.
And with continued protests at Turner's Cross against the ownership of the club, Nash respected their stance and understands the club needs to do better.
Look, I understand when the team isn't winning games, when we're in the position that we're in, I understand the fans are going to be unhappy. They paid their money, you know, fans came to Tala on Friday night and stayed behind after us for the team. I found it incredible. It's something I've not seen very often in 25 years in football, and I'm incredibly grateful to them for that. The players are fighting. The club have backed me with signings. The club have backed me with the staff that I've brought to the club. We're working incredibly hard behind the scenes. We all want to be successful. None of us want to be in the situation that we're in. I can promise the fans that. I understand we have to do better, and I'm the focal point of that. I promise them we're fighting, and we want to change the situation.
Another chance to do that now on Friday with St. Pat's coming to town.
Yeah, we'll be back here in 4 days. We'll recover, but we'll work hard and train in between. Look, I think it's one of the positives is, like, again, as I talk about, like, Shawnee McGuire's had 90 minutes. Greg Bull just had a couple of games in four days, should I say. We're getting people back. That's usually important. It's usually important to have competition for places, so the players know that they need to perform every day in training, need to perform in games. That's usually important. So we're getting people back. We're fighting. And
Drogheda United boss Kevin Doherty was frustrated his side couldn't hold on for the win.
Of course, you can see such a poor goal in, 95th, isn't it? Yeah. Because we dealt with it, and, like, they had a lot of balls in the box, and look, we're very good at defending and shaping. It's not that we drop off or anything, like, we just are so compact and so, because, look, if you're looking for game plans, you want to be aggressive, you want to press, but there's so many times we get in behind from when we were off them a little bit, and probably Douglas and Taylor's chance to go 2-0 up with one home to keeper would have been the ideal thing, but we didn't. And then you're as I said, look, we had a lot of tired bodies, and people be probably wondering about making subs, and obviously George coming off early didn't help. We only had two more breaks, and we have a lot of young players on the bench, like, to throw them into that happens is very, very difficult, but they're still good young players, but and a lot of forward players on the bench. That's where we are at the moment with the squad, so hopefully we'll strengthen it in the window. But yeah, to answer your question, frustrated, because even though Cork had a lot of it, I thought that
you're comfortable again.
Cork remain bottom, 4 points off Sligo, and they face St. Pat's at Turner's Cross on Friday night. Drogheda dropped the third. They're 10 points off Shamrock Rovers at the top. They have played the same amount of games. Next up for them is an away trip to Derry on Friday night. In the First Division, Dundalk suffered their first defeat in the league this season. They were beaten 1-0 away to second from bottom Finn Harps. Cove Ramblers closed the gap on Dundalk to a point, thanks to their 1-0 win at home to Kerry in their All-Munster clash. Longford Town took home the bragging rights in the Midlands Derby with a 3-2 win over Athlone Town. UCD won 3-1 away to Bray Wanderers, and it finished 0-0 between Treaty United and Wexford. Athlone Town will face Cardiff City in the qualifiers for the Women's Champions League. That match is in the semi-final of the first qualifying round, and it'll take place on the 30th of July, but the venue is yet to be confirmed. The winners will then face Croatian champions Agram. At the Club World Cup, Inter Miami and Palmeiras progressed to the knockout stages after a 2-2 draw. Miami were 2-0 up thanks to goals from Tadeo Allende and Luis Suarez, but Paulinho and Mauricio equalised for the Brazilians, who finished top of the group. The other two teams in Group A, Porto and Al Ahly, finished 4-4. As a result, both sides were eliminated. In Group B, Atletico Madrid's 1-0 win over Botafogo wasn't enough to save them from an early exit. PSG won 2-0 against Seattle Sounders. Inter Miami will play Champions League winners PSG in the last 16, and there'll be an all-Brazilian clash between Palmeiras and Botafogo. Group C leaders Bayern Munich, who are already through, take on Benfica tonight. Benfica need a point to seal their place in the last 16. Boca Juniors need Benfica to lose, and then they have to win themselves against the already eliminated Auckland City. They need a big goal difference swing to go through. Chelsea just need a point against Esperance de Tunis to progress in the early hours. Flamengo will take on the already eliminated LAFC in Group D's other game. Rico Lewis will miss Manchester City's final group game at the tournament and their last 16 tie as well, after his three-match ban for an opening day sending off was upheld. The 20-year-old was shown a straight red card in City's win over Wydad, which saw him miss Sunday's 6-0 win over Al Ain. The original one-match ban was extended to three matches. Manchester United have submitted an improved offer to Brentford in excess of £60 million for Brian Bumo. The Athletic reported Bumo wants to join United, who tabled a proposal of £45 million plus £10 million in add-ons to Brentford for the Cameroon international. That was on the 4th of June. The 25-year-old is entering the final year of his contract at the West London club, who do have the option to extend his stay by a further 12 months. after sulking his way through Manchester United's postseason tour of Asia and recently posting a picture of himself in Ibiza wearing an Aston Villa jersey with Marcus Rashford's name on the back. It's fair to say Alejandro Garnacho looks set for a move away from Old Trafford. A summer exit looks likely, and an old-fashioned swap deal has even been suggested, with Chelsea reportedly keen to take the Argentinian in exchange for Christopher Nkunku. The Frenchman has been a disappointment since his £52 million move from Leipzig 2 years ago. Fitness and form have deserted the now 27-year-old. United want a striker. Chelsea want another left winger after sending Jadon Sancho packing back to United, and would potentially mean Chelsea wouldn't have to spend the best part of £50 million on either Dortmund's Jamie Gittins or Lyon's Malik Fofana, two other expensive transfer targets that operate on the left wing. Tottenham are set to sign defender Kota Takai from Kawasaki Frontale. Club sources indicate that an agreement for the 20-year-old Japan international has been reached for £5 million, which would represent a record fee for a player in the J-League moving overseas. And Middlesbrough have moved to fill a vacancy left after Michael Carrick was sacked by appointing Rob Edwards as their new manager on a 3-year deal. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, and I will be back with more tomorrow.